Hello, my name is Alex DeBoer. It's Wednesday, April 2nd. This is your Vancouver COVID-19 update.
I'm going to get off the receive or the hook there, but actually answer it. Anyway, here I am.
Oh, no. Cool. Hey, Francis.
The operation of local papers relies primarily on advertising revenue rather than reader subscriptions. So the economic hit taken by local businesses over the past few weeks has proved to be a near-death sentence for local papers. Yesterday, several reporters were laid off from the Vancouver Courier. The week before, Vancouver's alt-weekly paper, the Georgia Strait, also laid off reporters. Now both papers, which provide crucial local news and City Hall coverage, are bare-bones operations. Not only that, the Vancouver Courier has suspended its free weekly print editions. Now, the only free print newspaper in the city is the Georgia Strait. Today, I spoke with veteran BC Municipal reporter and UBC Journalism School professor, Francis Beulah. We talked about why this loss of local reporting matters, who will be most affected, and what help may be on the way. Take a listen.
Great, thanks. So how have the last few weeks been for you? You know, as a journalist and as a professor of journalism?
Well, as for everyone, it's been changing every day. So in my freelancing career, I'm pretty busy right now because there's a lot to do. And like most people who love journalism, I wake up every morning with 10 more story ideas of things I want to do. Yeah. So far people have been receptive about them. So that's been pretty busy, but of course as a freelancer I work in the media. The media is heavily paid for by advertising revenue and other sources of revenue that may be significant, maybe collapsing already for all I know. So, you know, I keep wondering what my future is. And then for my university students, it's been, you know, trying to get them through the end of the class and, you know, us stay calm and them stay calm and try to be focused and dealing with people who've, you know, had to fly back to whatever country they're from or they've decided to stay here and they're feeling really stressed. So, you know, I think it's just a big job for all of us to try to stay calm at the same time that as journalists, you know, we can't turn off the news to try to do that. We have to be on top of the news. And so you're just exposed to it a lot more. And I think you have to work harder to keep yourself from kind of tipping over into your brain just turning into a popcorn maker.
Yeah, I feel that very much. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think we all are, and we're all just trying to come up with strategies to just, you know, get yourself calmed down and not spin out of control too much.
Yeah. Just to give a bit of perspective on your experience with local media, can you tell me how long you've been reporting on municipal issues for?
So I've been I became the City Hall reporter for the Vancouver Sun in 1994, so however many years that is, 26. But I started my career in 1983 in the middle of a general strike in BC in a small town called Creston. And I worked in community newspapers for 3.5 years and covered a lot of councils in that time. So I feel like it's sort of been always there, you know, a kind of city coverage for all of those, whatever, however many years that is.
Wow, yeah. That's really incredible. So that's, you know, if we're talking about 83, you know, more than 30 years, 40 years, maybe almost less than 40 years. But anyway, it's a long time. And I'm wondering, like, if you can just comment broadly on how you've seen local media change in BC over those years?
Well, obviously there's less than there used to be. I mean, I worked for two papers that are defunct now, the Comox District Free Press, lovingly called the green sheet by everybody there because it printed the cover page in green. And the Kamloops Daily News, which was killed a few years ago. So obviously there's a lot less. I mean, it was never, they were never staffed hugely. You know, the newsrooms that I was in the early years, the first one, I was one of two reporters. The second one, I think I was one of maybe three or four reporters. The third one was I was one of maybe six reporters. You know, they were never huge or anything like that. But they did keep going. They really served the community. The, you know, advertisers were very committed to them. And so obviously there has been a decline. Some communities have had two papers and they now only have one. And even those are struggling somewhat, especially in the last few weeks. We've seen reporters laid off from some of the smaller ones in various communities. And then just yesterday, you know, announcements of fairly significant layoffs through the, in the Glacier and Black Press chains, which are the two big chains that own pretty much everything in the province.
Yeah, yesterday, lots of really sad news. As you say, with Glacier Media, so that owns the Vancouver Courier, which is, you know, I would say probably the local paper that does the most City Hall reporting.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, and so they laid off, I believe, seven reporters. And the previous week, the Georgia Strait, which is now owned by Media Central, they let go of a couple of reporters, Travis Lupik, Tammy Kwan. I'm not sure if there were others. But also, like, a serious reduction in an already small masthead. So Vancouver's independent local media is getting very bare bones. And, like, we're in a public health emergency that is national and international in scope. But I'm wondering if you can tell me why this loss of local reporting still matters.
Well, these are people who are really... you know, they know their local communities really well, and they know them in this extremely granular way. And that was more important than ever right now, because actually all the bigger media, they're very caught up in the large announcements, you know, the prime minister's announcement every day, the provincial health officer's announcement every day, sort of bigger things. And it's really, well, you can't often find out what's happening in the local community anymore, except for these smaller outlets. Even, you know, the Vancouver Sun is, you know, caught up in sort of the big provincial trends and so on. And so if you wanted to know what was happening with the shops in your community, with transit in your community, with you know, what your municipality was doing or not doing, which is of a lot of interest to many people, it was the local paper. It's the local paper doing it.
Yeah.
And I just want to mention one thing that, you know, many people forget about. I had a tweet about this, but a lot of reporters, they do this extra work that the public doesn't see, which is, especially in times of crisis, people get in touch with them to find out what's going on. They don't want to be in the paper. They're just calling for information. And so a lot of reporters sort of run a sideline business of counseling or just relaying information to people or trying to reassure them or dealing with things that will never appear in the paper. You know, every one of those reporters who's now been laid off was doing something like that, you know, sort of trying to reassure a certain group of people about something or going and finding out on their behalf what was going on. And that just means that many fewer people providing that service to the public at large.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And I believe the Georgia Strait is still being printed. But the Vancouver Courier has stopped printing its weekly free newspaper for the time being. And so I think it's easy for a lot of people to kind of scoff at these like free papers because you can read all the journalism online and, you know, they only come out once a week. So often the articles are a few days old when you get your hands on them. And there's a bunch of advertisements in them, some of them quite lewd, such as in the Georgia Strait. And yet, to many people, there is a real value to these free weekly papers. Can you talk about what that value is?
Well, for example, I talked to this older woman who I ran into at the library the day it was closing, and she was pretty devastated because she has no internet. She has nothing but a landline at her house. She, you know, came to the library to read the local newspapers, and particularly the Vancouver Courier. She really, you know, that was something she relied on for local news. One thing that people don't realize is probably the bigger outlets like the New York Times or the Washington Post, or, you know, I'm not sure about the Globe and Mail, how much they get from subscriptions, but some of those have really moved to a where much more of their revenue comes from subscriptions, and particularly subscriptions from fairly well-off households who are going to continue to want an information flow. So they're okay, but the community newspapers, and, you know, including the Georgia Strait, relied strictly on advertising. So when that advertising disappears, they've got nothing else to go to. They don't have any revenue from subscriptions. It was a model that worked for a long time, but clearly in a time like this, which is really unprecedented, none of us has lived through anything like, even remotely like this. Obviously, you see the problem with that is that as much as the community might value those papers, and many do, like I think on the North Shore and Burnaby and New Westminster and Richmond, many communities, people really value those, the information they get from their community papers, but they're reliant on how well the business community in their municipality is doing.
Yeah, totally. And like you say, like this is affecting people who, like the woman you spoke with, doesn't have internet. A lot of people who, don't have internet, can't afford these subscription papers. And so it's affecting people who are like lower income disproportionately. And it's pretty sad. Mm-hmm. And also, of course, the Vancouver Star Metro, which was another free, it was printed every weekday, another free local paper ended in December. So we've just seen before any of this.
Yeah, but again, it is. I mean, low income people suffer, but it's not just that. Like on the North Shore, that paper goes to every household. It's read widely, and if it goes, there are, you know, readers of at all income levels who will not have anyone monitoring what their city council is doing at this time. Monitoring what is happening in their community.
Yeah. And then, I mean, there is some media funding available, I've seen. So I saw companies like Facebook and even the media organization National Geographic, they're offering small grants to local journalists and newsrooms who are covering specifically the coronavirus. But more importantly, the federal government has said it will roll out $30 million on an, quote, advertising campaign to raise awareness about COVID-19, unquote. Not totally sure what that is, but that money is supposed to go primarily to Canadian media. Mm-hmm. And the federal government has also promised tax credits for newspapers to help them out. So are you hopeful that any of this assistance, either from the government or companies like Facebook, will help local media in a substantial way?
Well, I'm not a publisher, so I don't know exactly what they need, but the federal government is also saying they'll provide a 70% subsidy for the wages of workers if that company can actually, you know, is still producing something for the public. And newspapers are in an ideal, or all media, they're in an ideal position, supposedly, to take advantage of that. But no one knows when it's coming through, you know, and who exactly is going to be eligible. And I think that's probably why the Courier suspended publication and why there's been layoffs, is because people don't know how much is exactly going to come through to them, and they can't take on like $100,000 in debt and then suddenly discover, like, oh, actually, you're not eligible for that, or
exactly.
it's not going to provide exactly the same amount, the money that you might have put into your crisis plan or whatever.
Yeah.
And as far as I can tell, that's the big problem for a lot of these smaller businesses. There's been all these commitments by the federal government, but mm-hmm. it hasn't rolled out yet. They don't know exactly what they're going to get. And some of them are just saying, before I lose everything, I'm just going to shut down or suspend operations temporarily or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. So hopefully the federal government will make it clear exactly, you know, how much people are eligible for and what the criteria is and when the money will actually be in people's accounts.
Yeah, I mean, I think they're still working that all out. I mean,
yeah.
I think there's mass confusion everywhere about who's eligible for what in all of these programs and when money will actually start getting deposited in bank accounts.
Definitely. Like during this kind of horrible time for local media, I've been thinking about which reporters are getting laid off and are more likely to get laid off. So we know Canadian media is incredibly white. And if I glance at people who've been laid off recently here in Vancouver, most of them, it appears, seem to be white. But, you know, if I look back further before this all happened at the Vancouver Star Metro layoffs that happened in December, there were a number of young people and young people of color specifically who were laid off. And so since efforts to kind of diversify our largely white newsrooms in Canada have been more recent, efforts to hire people of color mean that a lot of people of color reporters are newer hires and so at a greater risk of being laid off. I don't know. Do you agree with that assessment? Do you think this crisis is going to kind of disproportionately affect journalists of color?
I mean, it will in bigger legacy newsrooms. Certainly when the Sun and Province were looking at, you know, mass layoffs at one point, it was, you know, disproportionately there were younger journalists and journalists of color in that group.
Mm-hmm.
But in newer, perhaps more nimble media organizations that were hiring a lot of people of color from the beginning and so on, and maybe are not as locked into so many fixed costs. Like I would
mm-hmm.
take a look at Daily Hive, for example,
mm-hmm.
Which has hired a lot of journalists of color and has a journalism model that some people think is questionable, but, you know, it's been incredibly successful. I don't know how they're doing financially right now. But I think it depends on the media outlet, because my experience has been, yeah, bigger, union-dominated, you know, layoffs happen in certain order. Legacy outlets have been, you know, there's older white journalists who have tended to, you know, benefit from that because they're the oldest and most senior employees.
Yes.
But newer organizations that started more recently in the last 10, 15 years, they have a different structure and they hire differently and so on. So it really depends on what kind of media outlet you're looking at.
Right. Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, I haven't seen any layoffs with Daily Hive,
mm-hmm.
Nor with the Taiyi, which is definitely mm-hmm. also a bit newer and more diverse
mm-hmm.
in its masthead.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I noticed that 20 years ago was how any new media operation that started up was instantly like 20 times more, well, I shouldn't say 20, but at least twice as diverse as any older mm-hmm. newsroom, just because
yeah.
of the way they were able to hire and, you know, and the room that they had to hire, you know, a really broad mix of people.
Yeah. Thank you for talking with me, Frances. That's all the questions I have. Did you want to add anything before I let you go?
Yeah, I mean, the one thing that I thought of that I left out that is part of my life now, and that is, you know, is every journalist's life. And I did allude to it a little bit, but so much of a journalist's life is pretty stressful these days because you're taking in a lot of people's stress. you know, you're on the phone with people who are saying, you know, I am losing like $1 million a day, or someone who's saying, I am about to be kicked out of my place. I have no way to pay the rent. My landlady is being completely unreasonable. Like from top to bottom, all you hear all day long are incredibly stressful stories. And, you know, the people who are doing that job deserve a lot of credit for what they were doing. And once again, the fact that there are fewer of them around to do it is a real loss for everybody.
It certainly is. Yeah. Yeah, thanks again for your time.
Yeah, and that's great. And I'm glad you're still working.
Yeah, me too.
Okay.
Thank you for listening.
Okay, great. Thanks.
This interview was produced by me, Alex DeBoer. Thanks very much to Frances Beulah for her time. The song you hear is True Blue Sky by Blue Dot Sessions. Take care.